Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with Mr. Vin Forte. Vin, how are you?
Oh, I am good. I am excited. We just got done doing an episode on one of the best Star Trek movies, Star Trek First Contact.
Go check it out.
Things can only stay on this amazing high. I can only imagine.
Well, you know what? I'm going to come out of the gate and maybe shock you. I don't hate this movie.
Okay.
I don't think it's great. It's definitely subpar. It's definitely not nearly as good as First Contact. But again, this might be because of the Plinkett review bullshit. But I went into this thinking, oh boy, this is going to be like Gigli. This is going to be like Plan 9 from Outer Space. And I was like, oh, like it's flawed, but it's a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, there's definitely things to like about it. It's not like a complete failure. Oh my God, like I can't watch this movie.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was going to be. I found myself like, maybe because my expectations were so low. I mean, there are things about it I absolutely don't like and think don't work at all. But well, I thought it was going to be top to bottom garbage, and it's
The biggest thing that clouds people's opinion, certainly my opinion, as someone who saw these in real time when they came out,
yes,
is that First Contact, as we discussed last week, felt like a movie.
Yes,
like, oh man, we're kicking it up a notch. Like, mm-hmm. This is a movie with a capital M. You could see the money on the screen.
You bet.
Like, how are they going to follow this up? And then Insurrection comes out, and it's like, not only does it feel like less of a movie, it feels like it had less money, even though it had more money.
Right. I had to look up the budget because I was like, oh, I wonder how little the budget was. And I was shocked to find that the budget's more than First Contact.
Yeah, it feels like a much... It kind of feels like when you...
It feels like TV.
I was just going to say, it feels like if they, like they did like a almost like a straight to DVD thing.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Star Trek Insurrection from 1998, 2 years after First Contact. It's directed by Jonathan Frakes, the same director as the last movie. It's got the same composer as the last movie. It has the same cinematographer as the last movie.
Right, but it feels completely different.
The one major difference I could tell is that they didn't have ILM doing the special effects. ILM was busy doing Star Wars Episode One.
Yeah.
And the effects are... categorically worse than this. But that's not the problem. The problem is the overall look, which is why it surprises me that it's... I was surprised that it was the same cinematographer and he had more money. Because whereas everything looked cinematic and dynamic in First Contact, in this, everything looks overlit, which is a sign of TV. You light everything because you're doing everything quick in TV. You know, you want to light everything evenly so you can film it. Move the camera however you want. Boom, boom, boom. You have a nice image that will look good on a TV screen, and then you move on. Everything has that look. Nothing looks dynamic. Everything looks flat. The costume designs look
terrible
and flat. The whole like world of the Baku, the villagers of this movie, they could have done. Honestly, I feel like if they had,
they're all wearing potato sacks, basically.
Yeah, if they had made those designs more aesthetically pleasing. It's ugly. This movie's ugly to look at. It really is. Like, it's kind of like, it gives you a headache to look at it. It's like, what's with all the browns and stuff? Like,
and there is also some stuff where, because I've read the backstory on this movie, and there's definitely like plot lines in it as well that were not fleshed out nearly as much as they should have been.
Well,
or that they wanted to.
I do not understand how the Picard's love interest, how she stops time. She stops
that
time.
I have no idea.
And it's never explained. And then at the end, I think he stops time. And it's like, how?
Well, that whole thing, not the stopping time.
Anige.
But
her name's Anige.
Anige. But there's a whole section of this movie where it's almost like if you blink and you'll miss the explanation for it and then wonder for the next 20 minutes what the fuck is going on, where it feels like they're all getting younger.
Yeah.
But you don't see them getting younger. It's just like they sort of feel like more young in spirit. Riker trims, they have this like weird scene where Troy's like shaving him in a bathtub.
There's candles everywhere. Yeah, right. Like it took me a minute to figure out, like, okay, Riker and Troy are getting hornier. There's
Or Worf's just
Worf
getting
is
a
like going through
rash, like.
puberty. He's getting a pimple.
Yeah, but then like Picard
He's
is like
dancing to
looking at him,
Mambo.
he's dancing to Mamba in a mirror. And again, even if you are paying attention, you don't know what's going on. But like the scene of Picard, for example, where he's doing the Mambo, he's looking at himself in the mirror. You watch that scene, you're like, oh, is he just getting horny? Is he feeling himself? What's going on
Right,
here?
right, right, right.
What it's supposed to be that they didn't film or flesh out that was apparently originally in the script was that all of those happenings that you see like that, it's supposed to be something on the planet is making them get younger, like a fountain of youth.
Well,
But
they explain that pretty clearly, because that's
right,
what the bad guys want.
but then like you see Picard and he's not getting younger, and it's like, well, wait, what's going on here? Like he just looks like the same
Well,
Picard.
I think the problem, I see a disconnect as well, but I think for me the disconnect is, okay, they're getting younger, but what does that mean? To Picard, it
Right.
means now I want to dance. Okay.
Right.
To
To someone
Worf,
else, they're going through puberty. To
yeah, to
someone
Worf,
else,
it
they're
means now
getting
my hair's
horny.
growing long. Like it's like, yeah, it's very the way that they put on the screen, look, they're getting younger, I think doesn't totally work.
No. And then the other thing that doesn't work for me, that's like a big picture thing, is I think there's one where we're just going to jump around. We don't need to like necessarily go through beat by beat, but, one of the big things for me is they talk about this planet where these people, the Baku, live. And the Federation is teaming up with the Sona, who are the bad guys, who were basically kind of like exiled from this planet. So the Sona are like gross looking
Right. But that's a
and
big
aging
reveal.
poorly. It is a big
And I
reveal.
gotta say, I didn't see it coming. I was surprised by that reveal.
Okay.
I was like, oh shit, okay.
But once it's revealed,
Yeah.
did you get the same sense that I had where it was like, why are the Sona, like, why aren't we helping the Sona? Like, because this technology that this or this organic technology that this planet has, like, we're being made the argument by the quote unquote like corrupt admiral or whatever that like, oh, this is gonna help build millions and billions of people if we could harness it. And these fucking Baku don't want to give it up. And it's
Well,
like, well,
again,
why
there's a
don't they want to give it up? Like,
I you
we
can
need
blink
to.
and miss it, but there is some dialogue where Picard is like, well, why don't the Sona just live here? And Doherty, the admiral from the Federation, that's like kind of an antagonist who's in with the bad guys, is like, oh, well, it would take them 10 years to get to for to reverse their aging. And they also don't want to live there. It's like the planet has a natural way of like keeping you young forever. It has to do with the
Right.
rings around the planet. But the bad guys, the Sona, they figured out how to like inject something into the rings that'll make it even stronger. Then you could kind of bottle it and sell it like a fountain of youth, but it would
Yeah.
kill everyone on the planet. So they want to get everyone on the planet off the planet. And they have a real convoluted way of doing it where they basically make a giant holodeck, a ship that's a holodeck that
Yeah.
is the village that these people live in.
And they're basically going to trap them in the town square. Then it's like, psych, it's not really the town square. It's our holodeck. And then fly them off.
But you know, like I felt like
But like you said,
this
blinking,
was
you'll
a
miss it. But it feels like there is something there. But it also feels like there's a much, much different way that this could have been dealt with.
Well, here's the thing. It feels like a really good episode idea or a two-parter idea, but it's shoved into a movie, so it doesn't have the full breadth that two long episodes would have. And also, like the last movie, they're trying to up the game a little bit. Like, I feel like
This would have been a good episode where there's a lot of sitting around a conference table
yes,
and
it's smart.
Picard like figuring out, yeah, and being smart and figuring out like what do we have to do to solve this diplomatic dilemma. But because it's
Right.
a movie, it's like, well, we got to have scenes where Worf's got a purple space bazooka. And
Right. And really bad effects of shooting drones out of the sky where we keep using the same shot over and over again.
can we talk about how bad the CG is in that one scene where
Well,
Data's flying
let's
around?
back up a little bit. Let's back up a little bit because I want to make sure the people who are listening and haven't seen the movie get what we're saying.
Okay.
In this Star Trek movie, there is this planet, which I forget the name of it, but there are these people that live here. And remind me later to get into why I find it uncomfortable that they all seem so white. There are these people that live here, and they live there. They're space Amish, basically.
Yeah.
They have the ability to, they have warp ability, they have the ability to have advanced technology, but they've chosen to not live that life. And they live on this
But
pl yeah.
they're very like, and this is another problem that I found with the movie.
Yes.
They're very prissy about it. They're not like sympathetic, and we're made to like we're supposed to feel sympathy for them that they're being
Yes.
under attack. But at every turn, they're like, "Oh, well, why would we want technology? Like we've got our
Right,
own
right.
thing."
They don't seem too much like underdogs. I see what you're saying. And there's these bad guys called the Sona that are the head one is F. Murray Abraham. And they're kind of like the characters in Brazil where they like stretch their skin on their face, like they're constantly doing facelifts. They're these
Yeah.
people that, and I think it's a cool design, although ugly, where they're kind of like rotting corpses. And they want to harness the power that that planet has. It's a radiation that keeps you young and like fixes you. And so they're working with the
Corrupt
Federation,
Starfleet, yeah.
right? And the Federation, their stake in it is like, well, this is such a huge power. This could change medicine as we know it. This could change everything. We can't let one planet of 600 people have it all. You know, we're just gonna move them. We're not gonna kill them. And there's a good like dialogue, like Star Trek intellectual debate where, what do you call it? Picard is like, this goes against everything we believe in. And Admiral Doherty's like, it doesn't. They're not, this isn't a first contact situation. They have warp capabilities. They're not indigenous to this planet. They came from somewhere else to this planet. So how can we fight like they own it? That's the thing. If they had leaned into the Star Trekky intellectualism, it would work. But the problem is they're trying to do two things. They're trying to be smart, but also trying to have action and make a lot of jokes. And I feel like that to fit in all of that shit, you have to cut out some of the smartness so things make
Yeah,
less sense.
they definitely try and fit in more jokes in this movie. Like, I know we're not gonna go beat by beat, but like the movie opens up with Picard having to do some sort of diplomatic conference in Ten
Yes.
Forward, and
Well, this is really funny.
which by the way, the weakest excuse I think in yet for Worf coming on board,
Yeah.
which is they don't even really announce an excuse. They get into a turbo lift and Worf is there, and Worf's about to basically say why he's there, and Picard cuts him off and he's like, "Oh, Mr. Worf, how good to see you." And then like something else happens and
That's it.
they just move on.
That's it.
But
He's like, I want it to be in this movie.
going back to the joke thing, they make him wear this headdress
Yeah.
that is a really unfortunate headdress, because I feel like someone just did it because they're like, "Oh, wouldn't it be funny to make Patrick Stewart, a bald man, look like he's wearing like dreadlocks?"
Yeah. It's unfortunate in a lot of it's unfortunate, but it's also here's my deeper problem with it. It's mocking the whole spirit of the previous film. 'Cause the whole point of the
Yes.
previous film is the magic of First Contact. And now this film begins with making fun of that concept because these people that we're making first contact with are a bunch of weirdo primitives
Yeah.
that are eating the flower arrangements on the tables because they're fucking savages and they're giving us weird headdresses that we're laughing at behind their backs. It's like,
Yeah, and Picard's
not
like
only
in
is
the
it
turbo.
xenophobic, it's
It's.
undoing what the last movie said is the whole ethos.
Yeah, and Picard's in a turbo lift talking to Troy, like, "Oh, remember when we used to be explorers? Like, oh, I gotta do this bullshit."
Right. Well, okay, so that leads to something I wanted to ask you because you are so much more familiar with Star Trek than me. This was my first time watching this film. I have not watched, I've only watched a handful of episodes of Next Generation. I've watched a handful of episodes of Voyager. I've watched none of Deep Space Nine. I want to ask you about the Dominion War or the Dominion and where this movie is in the timeline. Because you get the sense, I got the sense, not knowing anything, that this is supposed to be after some huge event that happened on the TV show.
No, it's worse than that.
Okay.
So, basically in Deep Space Nine, without getting too deep into it, because like if you're listening to this and you have any interest in Star Trek, Deep Space Nine is really like a show that was ahead of its time, great ensemble cast, like, and what they did with Deep Space Nine is they built up this force called the Dominion, who come in through a wormhole to a different part of the universe in the Gamma Quadrant, and basically are like the new big bad coalition. And eventually there's this like seasons long, like literally the last like four seasons of the show revolve in some way around this big Dominion war, where like the Dominion have attacked Earth, like they blow up the Golden Gate Bridge, like there's like serious shit that's going down in the universe, and like million, literally like tens of millions of people in the universe are dying, like thousands by the day, like tens of thousands every day in the universe are dying. So with that as the backdrop, as like in Deep Space Nine, the whole world as we know it is like imploding, and we don't know what to do, and we have to navigate it. The Enterprise is just off doing some fucking like Yoo-hoo mission with this Baku planet. And because you're right, at the beginning of the movie, they sort of like hand wave away the Dominion, where Riker says something like, oh, I guess, you know, Starfleet doesn't want it, you know, the fleet's flagship, you know, on the front lines getting assaulted or something. And
But it
that's
also
been the running bugaboo with
yeah
fans of Deep Space Nine and like the TV series
yeah
throughout these movies, is that like, you know, you're doing a movie. We've shown in First Contact that you know how to scale it up. Why would you not like do? And again, this is to their credit, this was before like Marvel and like the whole cinematic universe thing came into play again. So I could see why they didn't do it, but like it would have been a great opportunity to like dovetail all the TV shows into like a big cinematic event where it's like, we're gonna show you like the tail end, like we're ending, like the Dominion War is going to end and it's going to be on the big screen. But no, it ended in DS9, which is fine. But
Was that literally before this or was it after this?
Deep Space Nine was still, Deep Space Nine ended in 2000, 2001.
So really the whole world is at
The war
war.
was like, yeah, at this point
But
in the
there this movie
franchise,
it's like not
the
happening.
whole world is at war. Like we're like right in the thick of it.
Interesting. Because it's they do there is a thing where the Sonar say to Admiral Doherty, like, the Federation is getting old. Like, every major power has challenged you. Like, you're not who you were before. And I guess that's supposed to be kind of commenting on that idea.
Yeah, that's definitely like something that's happening. But again, it's happening off screen, like
Right.
on a different
They're
show.
doing a little adventure with these people in this kind of plain, like it's bucolic, but it's ugly, like because it's so plain. Like it just feels like they just went to like a national park and were like, yeah, we're gonna make a movie here and like put everyone potato sacks.
Kind of what they did. I mean,
It begins in a very weird way where like, and we I think you wanted to talk about this before with the weird special effects. Like it begins with this thing of like, we see this planet of these like simple people and they're being observed by the bad guys. And then I guess Data and
what?
some other people are like in invisible suits or
Yes.
something.
So here's.
Something.
So to your point that you've been bringing up this entire episode, here's where like I'm gonna bust the door wide open and
Yeah.
reveal what you don't know.
Please.
That whole opening scene where they're in it, where they're behind a duck blind and they're invisible and like they're monitoring them, and Data goes crazy and shoots the duck blind, and it reveals that they've been watched the whole time. They've already done an episode that does exactly that.
Really?
where they're monitoring a pre-warp civilization, and like the people find the invisible duck blind, and they're like, "What's going on?" And like Picard has to figure out like how do we like these people aren't ready,
Right.
like we're contaminating their society. How do we get out of this?
But that's not what's happening here because they're confused, but they know what androids are and stuff because they know about technology. They're just not using it.
Right.
So why do they have to be invisible at all?
Because they don't want them to know about the plan to put them on the invisible ship.
It's weird. And it begins
But again, that's what makes this whole movie weird is so far we've talked about a lot of stuff where it's like I'm confused about stuff and I've seen
Yeah.
it a million times. You're confused about other things. There's a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, well, there's an answer, but if you if you coughed and you would miss it because you didn't
Right,
hear it.
right. Like I don't totally understand what's happening at the beginning. And also like it leads it, the movie begins with a sort of like false mystery or like
Well, because they set it up as
of
like
like Data's
someone's
gone crazy. Like that's the
right.
it's like, oh my God, Data's gone crazy.
Which is kind of a more compelling story.
But you as an audience member know like he probably isn't crazy. He's probably just trying to lure the Enterprise to the situation.
Yeah.
But they spend too much time on like Data's crazy and the Enterprise is gonna try to save him. And it's like, well, why is he on that mission without them anyway? And you know, the whole thing where they sing
Oh, they think Gilbert and Sullivan.
yeah, this movie has a lot of silly shit in it. Like
Yeah, it's
we're
like, oh, Worf is a serious man, so we're gonna have him and Picard sing Gilbert and Sullivan to lure Data back. And
yeah.
then maybe the worst CGI in the movie is when they do those shots of the Data ship from the outside, and you
Yeah.
can see him like in the cockpit.
Yeah.
Like the scaling on it is so like insanely disproportionate.
Yeah, no, it's there's terrible CGI in this movie. You know, in the last movie, First Contact, we were saying in last week's episode that it makes what makes it so interesting in terms of Picard's characterization is that he doesn't get to be the cool, collected, intellectual captain that we know him as because he's got this personal stake in it and it's making him want revenge and it's making him angry and it's making him act out of a raw emotion, which is unique for that character. In this movie, Picard's like a fucking clown. He's like a joke.
Yeah.
Like it's like from the first moment where they put the headdress on him to him dancing to the mambo to him singing, he's just being even before they get to the planet. And I guess you could explain everything as, oh, they're getting younger, therefore they're acting weirder. He's beginning even he's weird even in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
He's just like a weird clown in the movie until he sort of his stake in the story is that he kind of starts to fall for this woman who lives there.
Well, like,
But
there's no real reason for him to fall for her.
no, I mean she's beautiful, but all they ever do is hold hands. I said this in the last episode. Like, why couldn't Picard kiss her? They never kiss. And at the end, he's like, oh, you know, I can't stay here and live with you, but I've got 8 weeks shore leave coming up and I'd love to come back. And it's like, all right, so we're not pussyfooting around. This is supposed to be a relationship. How in a movie in 1998 do you not have a kiss at least?
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I know that he's not Kirk and you don't want him kissing everybody, but at the same time, like you're establishing him as a in a relationship with this woman and holding hands is all he ever do?
Maybe he was going through puberty like Worf. Maybe like Troy, his breasts were sore that day and he just didn't feel up to it.
Yeah, that's a weird bit. At one point, Crusher and Troy are on the planet and they're getting younger too. And Troy says something like, do you notice how firm your boobs are starting to feel? And then Data hears it and he goes over to,
The
is it
Worf.
Geordi or Worf? And he says it like, haha.
Yeah.
Because he
Also,
doesn't
Data has
know
a
things, but it's
weird.
like he does understand anatomy, right? Like he knows he doesn't have boobs.
Also, Data has a weird plot line
Oh
that's
God, that's
like
so weird.
not a plot line. Like, it's more just like when they need a transitional scene, they'll throw in like 20 seconds of Data playing around with this kid.
Right.
But then at the end of the movie, there's this like 2 minute scene where like Data, like they're about to say goodbye to everyone. Like Data has a moment with the kid, and
Yeah.
it's like, wait, why?
Who
Like,
gives
are
a
we
fuck?
missing something? Like, where was this? Yeah, well, one, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Two, like, are we missing something? Were there scenes cut out that we're not privy to of Data and this boy?
I mean, it makes you mean when you have an ensemble cast like that, there are times when a screenwriter will write scenes that they know are not going to end up in the movie because
Right.
it makes the part look juicier for somebody.
Well, speaking of that, like you mentioned last episode that and look, not everyone's going to have the biggest role in the movie when you have an ensemble cast, but by and large, everyone in the movie in First Contact at least gets a moment. They get like a
Right, and
scene.
they're doing something for the plot.
And they're doing something for the plot. In this movie, it feels like if you're not Picard or Data, or I guess that's about it.
Yeah.
Like you've got nothing to work with. And if you're a woman, doubly so do you have nothing to work with.
Yeah. KSU, what's the storyline between Troy and Riker? Are they together? Are they not together? In this movie, it makes it seem
They,
like they were together and now they're getting back together.
yes. Well, it, when the series starts, when Next Gen starts, you learn that they were a couple. And then when they both joined Starfleet, basically they like put their relationship on ice
Okay.
so that they could, focus on their lives. But they still care about each other very much. So then when they both get assigned to the Enterprise, throughout the series, there's this like, not sexual, I mean, there is a sexual tension between them. And like there are episodes that focus on their relationship to each other and their past. And a lot of times they actually do a really cool thing where they play it off like almost like they're poly, where like Riker genuinely, like there are times where Riker is like watching as Troy is starting up another relationship with someone, but Riker's not
Okay.
jealous. Like
Right.
in fact, he wants the best for Deanna. Like there'll be scenes where he's like grilling the guy that she's
Interesting.
dating
Okay.
and sort of like, hey, don't do that. I care for her. Like, don't fucking play around with her. But
Interesting.
then
Okay. Well, that's
eventually,
progressive.
yeah, and then like eventually, like the only misstep is very late into the series. When I say very late, like halfway through season 7, she starts a relationship with Worf. That goes nowhere.
Okay.
And they kind of abandon that by the time the movie comes around.
Okay.
And then, spoiler alert for Nemesis, like they finally get married in Nemesis.
Yeah,
And
I've seen that scene.
yeah.
Okay.
So there
So
is a
yeah,
lot of
that's
history
kind
there.
of
It didn't
all
just come out of
she's doing.
nowhere. Yeah.
All she's kind of doing. Well, Crusher's doing nothing in this movie. All Troy is doing is like rekindling with Riker, and Riker's like shaving his beard, which I guess is makes him because he feels younger. He's
Yeah.
shaving his beard.
Well, again, that's what I was talking about before. Like, it's all these things where it's like, are we supposed to, like, is this supposed to tell us that they're getting younger in lieu of actually showing them getting younger?
Right. Yeah, it's they're not selling that point very well. All right, let's talk a little bit about Anish, that woman. Let's see her. What was the name of the actress who played her?
And she's got a husband, right? Like,
No, see, okay, I'm glad you brought that up. At first, there's that kid that we were just talking about. He's got like this dad who's like kind of this milquetoast dad, and they're always around her. So I thought they were a family. But then the dad and the kid are in one place, and Picard walks her home and she lives in a different place. So she's
right.
not married. It just looks like that because the way we're introduced to them is man, woman, and child.
Yeah.
I thought that too. I want to look up this woman's name because she does a good job, and she also she goes on to play the mother in Tangled, the Disney movie.
Okay.
She's good, and she's age appropriate, which I like.
That is a positive. She is age appropriate.
Her name is Donna Murphy, the actress.
Okay.
And she's got like sexy vibes. She's kind of like you
She's
know.
got big Dr. Quinn medicine woman energy.
Right. She's matronly and attractive, and she's kind of like, you know, she's walking around at night with Picard, and they're having deep conversations about life and, you know, how it is to live forever and what is it like. And she's like, we learned to live in the moment. It took us thousands of years to realize that it shouldn't have taken us thousands of years to live in the moment. And she like can slow down time.
Yeah, I
Like
didn't quite understand that.
they're like looking at a hummingbird, and then it like its wings start to move slower. And Picard's like, what's happening? And she's like, no more questions. And it's like, wait, I have questions.
Yeah, why are you making that hummingbird slow down?
Yeah, like your power is like you don't have a power. Like your planet is like you've made it very clear. Sorry, my light went out. You made it very clear what's going on, which is that you
The radiation's healing you and making you younger, but you're not an X-Man all of a sudden.
yeah. What are you? Why are you? What are you doing? And then later on, they're like in the mountains, because at some point they're like, oh, the bad guys are just gonna try to like transport us all against our will. So we'll go up to the mountain. We'll put all these like weird non-transporter devices around, and we'll Lord of the Rings it to the mountains where we can not be transported or whatever. And there's a cave in, and she like is dying, and he's like, oh, I'm losing her. And then he kind of leans into her, and I'm like, oh, they're gonna kiss, but they don't. Time slows, and then we cut to Crusher's healing her. So like she didn't die because she slowed down the time, the moment in which she was dying, which is weird enough. But then she says something to Picard like, I told you can do it or something. And it's like, wait, he slowed down time? What are you saying, movie?
Yeah, what is this planet? What is this magic planet you're on? And by the way, this movie spends way too much time on this planet, and then like the Sona come along at the end, and it's like, oh yeah, th those guys.
Well, the movie is both trying to have a ticking clock, but also being leisurely, which is like you can't do both. Like, either we have to get these people to safety right now, or we have time to take strolls and have like
And
long
look at hummingbirds
conversations.
and shit.
Right. Like, we don't have, we're not doing both.
No, and then is again going back to the fact that it doesn't look like the money was on the screen. When
Yeah.
they have the whole thing with Picard, again being very action movie
Yeah.
Picard on the Sona ship, did it feel like they ran out of money and just used like the blue screen in the background and was just like, no, that's not like, no,
Yeah.
that's not blue screen. That's the ship.
There is such terrible green screen in this movie that you even see like the bleeding on the edges of things. Like there's a shot with Worf with blue screen that it looks like God damn, you couldn't do another pass on that. Like, I know you don't have ILM, but this is like really bad. Like it's shocking how bad this movie looks. It really is. It's like whole it's like even like their phasers look like somebody like drew with a magic marker on the screen, on the actual film itself. Like the lasers in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, it's just like, how does this look so terrible when the last movie looks so good?
Well, the only thing that I think passes the test in terms of the CGI is, and this is where I think the movie it does pick up steam a little bit, but again, I don't like that it cuts back to the planet because I don't like whatever's going on the planet, is the stuff of Riker in the air when he's got to go into the Briar Patch
Yeah.
and like fight the Sona ships. Like that stuff looked okay,
But that's
but
weird
even
too. Yeah, okay. It looks
I was just about
okay.
to say, but even that's weird. Because there's a part that always gets me where, for whatever reason, he's like, oh, I gotta take control. And then like a
Yeah.
fucking like computer joystick pops up
Yeah. What was
and
that?
he's like commanding the Enterprise with a fucking
He's
like,
like driving the Enterprise with a joystick.
yeah.
I really don't know what that was. I mean, is that like an executive being like, you know, the kids like video games. Let's blow their socks off with a video game thing. I mean,
Yeah,
like,
give Riker a Gravis game pad and have
it's
him
one step removed from him being like, get my Nintendo Magic Glove.
Yeah,
Like,
he's gonna steer against his hands,
steering with a
like.
magic glove or whatever that fucking thing was called. It's really weird. I was gonna say about that sequence, what's weird is you see Riker and the Enterprise making their maneuvers, but in what you would typically see in Star Trek is the other ship and the other captain making their maneuvers. It's like a chess game.
Yeah.
For some reason, they're not cutting back to the Sona ship, and it's like, why? Why are we not seeing what the other side are doing? This is not how Star
Right.
Trek works.
Right.
It's like as if they didn't shoot it, or they were like, oh, we don't want to have a second thing because we're cutting back to F. Murray Abraham as the leader of the Sona on the planet, so we don't want to confuse people. I don't know, but it's just like it feels weird to be only seeing one side of this thing that's going on.
And again, that's where, and again, not to skip ahead, but that's where I would give a movie like Nemesis more credit, because they do a lot of battle scenes in that movie. Some would say they
Yeah.
go overboard, but at the very least, you're still cutting back to Tom Hardy, and you've got this focus of it's the Enterprise versus his ship. Here, it's like, what's the Sona ship we're fighting? Like,
Right.
who's leading it? Who's the general? What's
Right.
the name of the big ship we're fighting? It's just, no, we're in a big firefight in space.
Right.
And maybe this is just a bugaboo to me and no one else, but were you miffed or pet peeved at all by the fact that they kept using like Brer Rabbit
Yes, yes,
jargon, where
yes.
it's like, oh, we gotta fly through the Briar Patch. It's like, why are we calling it this?
It's like every Star Trek movie needs to class things up by having literary references, and this is what we're
Right.
down to.
Right.
It's
We already used the big guns last movie.
right. We already did Moby Dick. Now we're fucking.
Brer Rabbit.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. There's a lot of things in this movie that are weird. Like, I just was looking at my notes. Do you remember when they're looking for Dick? And again, this is before the planet's supposed to be having an effect on Picard. They're looking for Data in the beginning, and Picard keeps going, come out wherever you are.
Yeah.
And Worf's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, ah, remember when you were a kid? Like, it's like, what? I can imagine, like, I can easily see, like, there was a subplot cut out where Picard gets really into smoking weed, and like he doesn't want everyone else on the ship to know it, so he's like smoking weed all the time and acting like an idiot. And they were like, "Nah, let's cut that out." But he's still acting that way. It,
Yeah,
like
they are giving my headdress at
he's
the
acting so fucking weird, and it looks so shitty. But let me tell you a good thing. Here's something that I actually liked a lot. Part of their plan at the end. Well, so okay, so eventually the bad guys are like, you know what? Fuck transporting these people. They don't want to leave. They could stay. We're going to inject the rings around the planet with whatever the thing is that's going to make the radiation go stronger and just let them all fucking die. And then, so it's how do you even set it up? So basically, like, we're on the bad guy ship, which looks shitty. It looks like a shitty bad guy. It looks like fucking Power Rangers. It's not good. And there's like, it seemingly like they're in a firefight with the Enterprise, and then like there's a moment, like a weird like blip moment where they're like, oh, the power all went off or whatever, and they were like, oh, that's weird. And then they think they succeed because they see the rings expanding, whatever, and then they look and they see like a glitch somewhere, and they realize that they were all transported onto that holo ship, so they were taken off their ship and put on the holo ship. I actually like that. I was like,
That is,
that's
yeah,
it's a
that's
good way to
clever.
use what they set up. I didn't see it coming. It's smart. I like that. I thought that was a cool idea.
No, it was definitely cool. And then, but then we got to get back to Picard versus
Right. But then
Ruafu.
they go back to the ship. See, the end has a lot of really easy transporting back and forth and back and forth. So now, like, the bad guys realize they're not on the ship, so they transport back to their ship and they fight Worf because Worf is transported there to take over their ship. And then, like, the weird device that injects into the rings, F. Murray Abraham, who's doing a whatever job, I mean, he's doing the best he can with what he has.
Yeah.
He transports to that, and then so does Picard. And for reasons I don't understand, this vessel is made like monkey bars, so Picard can like do his actiony climbing bullshit.
Yeah, again, like more reason why I was fine with it in First Contact, because he only did it once for like 10 seconds, and there was a reason for him to do it because he didn't want to fall into the gas that would destroy
Yeah.
organic matter.
Right.
But
And this,
here, it's
yeah.
just like there's no reason for him to be
Right.
climbing around on monkey bars.
Right. There's also a really weird moment where when the Sona realized that they were transported and they've been had, F. Murray Abraham is supposed to scream no, but he goes like, "Nyeh!" Like he,
Yeah.
it's like a very weird no.
And then, like, weird CGI flames and go.
Right. And there's a scene earlier on where he screams and like his head explode his head busts open and starts bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
It's
There's
not
also a scene with Admiral Doherty where they fucking do what's that movie? They do a Total Recall on him.
Yeah, at some point Admiral Doherty like Picard is like, "Wow, you really fucked up. Like you're going to be court-martialed. Like you're really fucked up on this one."
Yeah.
And he realizes like he's gone too far and he tries to stop it and they're like, "No, you can't stop." And they kill him. But they kill him because they have this machine that like uses bad CGI to stretch their faces.
Yeah.
And they put him in that machine and they stretch his face, but it just his eyes getting bigger. It just looks really shitty. It looks a little bit like do you remember in Super Mario Brothers, the early version, where like they have the de-evolve machine and like it
Yes,
stretches your
yes.
face out and then you turn into a dinosaur? It kind of looks like that, but not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he dies super easily. Like they're the weird thing that they're on is exploding, and again, we do this movie has a lot of quick transporting. Picard just transports out of there really quick, and F. Murray Abraham dies. F. Murray, by the way, did you think the guy who, not F. Murray Abraham, but his like second in command guy, didn't he look like Albert Brooks?
He kind of looked like Albert Brooks.
It, like, no offense to Albert Brooks, but this weird alien guy looked a lot like
Yeah.
Albert Brooks in his makeup. Yeah, at one point we find out that they were young people on that planet that wanted to leave the planet and not be space Amish, and so they tried to take over, but it didn't work, so they were exiled. So they grew up, but that's the thing, like they didn't just grow old, they grew old and then became obsessed with youth and then started like doing all this weird cosmetic surgery to themselves. It's not like there's a beat missing there, you know what I mean? Like it kind of all
Yeah.
connects, but there's
It
more.
kind of, well, again, like if this were an episode, we would have figured out what like the story behind the story is. Like that would be like the third act of the episode.
Right, because you
Because you're
wouldn't
right,
need.
there is something missing where it's like, yeah, these guys, like I was saying before, like, yeah, these guys are bad, but there is something like sympathetic rolling around in there.
Right. If it were allowed to just be a dialogue-driven intellectual story, you would have had the Sona have some vulnerability, so you really were looking at both sides of the conflict, and sort of it's not an easy answer as to who you're siding with.
Yeah.
But they don't have that. The Sona are just straight up monsters. And I wanted to talk about this. I put a pin in this before. The Sona are very othered. You know, they're weird, ugly monsters, and they have clothing that seems, I don't know, in some way,
Very
it's in some way,
very Middle Eastern.
yeah. And the Baku, the good people who live on the planet, they're mostly all white. I think there might be some people of color there as extras, but like they're very white. So it all feels very weird that like the good, pure people are like so fucking white
Right.
and the bad guys are like fucking F. Murray Abraham. Like it just feels weird. It feels icky. You know what I mean? Like
Does.
it could you they could have been, I don't know, they could have done that better. I mean, they could have done a lot of this better. You know, cut out all this action bullshit and, you know, that whole action sequence where they're trying to get the people to safety and the bad guys are sending down drones and the good guys are like shooting the drones with fucking poorly rendered lasers. Get rid of that and put in dialogue. It should be
Yeah.
dialogue driven. Like, go ahead and be smart. Be that kind of Star Trek story. You know, like. Yeah. But I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. I think actually it's an easy fix too. If you took the same script and said, okay, let's remove the action and let's focus it on some of these story beats and make sure, maybe go to a script doctor and say, like, does all of this make sense? Is all of this tracking? Pump up some of these characters that are underwritten and let's use some of this money and make the image look good. Let's put some money on the screen and not look like made for syndication
Yeah, come on,
fucking.
guys. Why can't we get Iowa? Like, we
It's.
literally got them for the last movie.
Yeah.
What, were they
I,
working on Flubber at that time? Like, I don't know what they
they're
were
working on
working on.
episode one.
Oh, that's true. At that time, they probably were all hands on deck for episode one.
Right. But it's but it's not ILM who's doing regular cinematography. Like, why do the costumes look shit? That's not cinematography,
Yeah.
that's production design. But like, why do the costumes look shitty? Like, it just I would that's why I was so shocked to see it had a slightly bigger budget. 'Cause I thought like, oh, when I immediately saw it, I was like, oh, they probably has half the budget of the last movie. That's why. Right? That but it's like, no, there's more money there. Where'd it go? The only thing I thought is it possible that in 1998, after the X-Men movies, Picard is now bringing in a big paycheck? Because that's part of a budget too.
Was it before the X-Men movies?
What was the first X-Men movie?
X-Men was 2000.
Oh, you're right. Right. Yeah, so where the fuck is this money? Where's the goddamn money? It's not on the screen as for that. And you know what?
They all
But
just get, but maybe they all just got pay raises because of the last movie.
that's possible. Well, what a shame. And we were talking about in the last movie, the score by Jerry Goldsmith. I thought it was really good. The score in this is so shitty. It's like corny after school special kind of melodrama music. It's like, holy shit, is this bad? And it made me even think, and maybe you have an answer to this. I don't know. I'm just postulating. Is it possible that they just use pre-recorded shit from the show and just cut it in? Like, is this actually scored by Jerry Goldsmith, or are they just taking shit from the show
I
and
don't think they took stuff from the
layering it
show.
on? It's just so bad. It's just the score is so. I mean, like this, the op we haven't talked about the opening credits. The opening credits look so cheap because it's the credits are
Yeah.
over like a montage of the people in this little village. So it's like shitty extras in like a not really well made setting, all wearing like bland clothing with like this really melodramatic, corny music playing, and the credits like cr the credits are rolling. It's like this is not a way to start a Star Trek movie,
Yeah, this is
guys.
like Bridges of Madison County. Like, this is like, oh, we're on a farm and say, and look, if you want to do a fake out, like, that's fine. Like, movies have done that before where it's like, oh, we're on a farm, but psych, we're really watching from the stars, and then like big action scene, like, but they didn't do that. They stayed on the farm too long. They stayed on the farm.
It's weird. It's weird. Like, not why not? Why can't the Federation actually, like, they say there's 600 people on the planet, right? This is what should they should have the Federation should just buy them out. Be like, listen, I know you guys love it here. We're gonna give you just an insane amount of money because this will change all of medicine. It is kind of weird. I mean,
Well,
Doherty makes
they
this
don't use
argument. Like, it
money,
is weird that
so
we're gonna let these people have it forever and no one else can have
that's what I'm saying. Like,
it.
just move, just be like, hey, we got another Class M planet right over here. We'll transport all your houses.
Right, the reason would be that they don't want to age, which would be like if this were a better written Star Trek story,
But like, again, here's my.
you would be like that would be a negative thing. You'd be like, oh, see, they're not so perfect, but there's no dimensions here. Like they're
I think this is
acceptable
a
good and
plot
bad.
that I think this is a plot that when you really like drill down to its core, they're like there's no there. Like if you were to really do this plot, because like the example we're just talking about now about okay, well if you move them, then they wouldn't age, but that wouldn't be an issue because then everyone would be able to harvest the radiation, and like they could still use that.
Or, like through most of the movie, the quote unquote bad guys are just trying to transport them against their will. They don't decide to kill them until the end. Why not from the get go have them try to kill them? Like, how about from the get
Yeah.
go, the sort of like they're we could say they're pretending that they're gonna help them, but they're gonna kill them. And like you can have that, you have Doherty in on it, whatever. It's just weird, like they're like, oh no, the bad guys are gonna transport us. Well, that's not bad, because in most movies the bad guys try to kill you.
Or
Like,
just like make the stakes a little more personal to be like, oh, well, it's not radiation. It's like it's something in their molecular structure. Like we need their blood or something.
yeah. Well, like think about like that great episode of Strange New Worlds, which we both watch, where it's kind of based on that Ursula Le Guin story of like they pick one kid in the society to take on all
Yeah.
the pain. The rest of society gets to like that. It had, you had in that, you had Pike being like, this is fucked up. You can't do this to this kid. But then they're like, but the kid feels like it's an honor and everyone else gets to live this way and it's their tradition. Let there be, there's got to be nuance to some of it. It's making it so much like these are the villains and these are the good guys. Well, if you want to, Star Trek should have a little more nuance than that.
Yeah, no, this was not nuanced.
So do you think this is we ha I so this is my first time watching this movie. I'm in fresh territory. I have not watched the next film, which is Nemesis, which is the last film, arguably, of the original series, or you could call this the second series. And then after Nemesis, they go to the J.J. Abrams reboot. So of the four generations, First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis, is this the worst for you?
This is the worst for me.
So you think Nemesis is better? Okay, I'm looking forward. I don't know anything about Nemesis. I don't know. I
Okay.
know that Troy and Riker get married in the beginning, but I don't know the plot of it. I know Tom Hardy, a very young Tom Hardy's a bad guy in it.
Yeah.
Is he like a clone or something? He's bald like Picard. Is he Picard
Yeah,
Stark?
he's like a clone of Picard that the Romulans created. It like there's honestly there's a lot of parallels to him as Bane, where it's like they kind of created him and then abandoned him on the dark side of the planet in like a cave.
Okay.
So like there's a
Okay.
lot. I'm very curious to see what you think of it, because again, I think anyone who watches it in a vacuum comes away thinking that it's at least better than its reputation.
What production design wise does it look as bad as this, or does it look like there's money again?
No, it looks like there's money again. Like I
Okay.
also contend that if this had come after directly after First Contact, it would probably have been received a little better as well, just based on looks alone.
Yeah, maybe that's the world was just kind of like, I mean, that's in what, 2002 or something?
2002, so people were
It's a little
dumb.
too long, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the. Maybe the 90s is where they belonged.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll eventually do that, and we'll probably do the J.J. Abrams films too. Why not?
Yeah.
Vin, thank you so much for being here. Tell the people what you're doing. You've been working on a
Yeah.
Substack. What's going on?
Yeah, go check that out where I'm doing a series where I do critical reviews of music videos. So check that out, Vin Forte, VinForte dot Substack.com. Go subscribe. It's free. I don't spam you. You get an email when a new article goes up, and it's the number one way to support. So go do that. Go to the site vinforte.substack.com. Either you should get a pop-up saying, "Hey, do you want to subscribe?" And or you should in every article at the bottom there's a place to put your email in. So go do that.
Awesome. Awesome. Vin, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank
We
you.
end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye.